What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, episode number 32, and I'm with my busy man, Patrick Moore. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? How are you?
You got a busy day today. You were shooting with muscle and strength today?
Yeah, man, and Dan told me to tell you what's up. He's a big fan. He's a super cool guy, man. Yeah. He's been in for the past couple of days, and bouncing good in shit. And out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's super cool, man.
So he's there filming like all your food and all your cooking and all your like all your training and all that shit.
Yeah, we got a chance to get a couple of sessions in, and then we did some of the prep. He kind of came up to where my job is, you know, training clients and stuff. So it was cool. He kind of got a good look into my life. He came when we were getting ready for morning cardio first thing in the morning, and man, it was a long day, dude. I think we started at like 5 a.m. and made it back home at 9:34 p.m. We're out all day.
What time do you normally – is it weird for you having somebody who would kind of ride along with you? Because he was like that with me too. Is it weird for somebody kind of riding along with you all day long filming and shit?
It wasn't because he was real respectful of my time. And it was kind of one of those deals like, hey, if you want me there, I'm there. If not, you know, I'll kind of just, you know, catch out. And so – but he was cool, man. He got started in the morning, dude, and I just kind of act like he wasn't there.
That's the thing with Dan. Dan's really good about it because, one, he – he's a bodybuilding fan first and foremost, so you can actually talk to him about bodybuilding. And he also he also understands prep and everything since he's competed before. So for you, for those of you who are listening who don't know, Dan is the videographer for Muscle and Strength YouTube channel and their website. And he's a great guy that comes around and films most of us. So if you guys don't get a chance, go to Muscle and Strength's YouTube. I'm sure Patrick Moore's videos will be up soon now that they've done a couple days of filming. So what else is going on? You're up at 5 a.m. for cardio?
Yeah, dude, the first session anyway. And that's how it has to be because, you know, I have clients, so I have to get to work and train them. And then I usually have my training session in the middle in between because I do that split session. So morning clients, then afternoon clients, have to get my training in between then. And then I have cardio at night too. So we're doing the cardio double deal right now, man.
So
usually kicks in. You know,
let's cover. I got a couple of questions I'm interested in before we cover the diet stuff that people are interested in.
Yeah.
So Lebrado's not paying you that fat check yet where you can quit personal training.
Not yet, dude. Trust me, man. I'm chomping at the bit. You're waiting on it. But yeah, I think we may have tapped on that a little bit now, man. It's just so different with these influencers and everybody kind of just, you know, companies are like, well, why we don't have to pay you a ton because we have this person, our ambassadors that do it for as a product, you know?
Yeah. But you know what I noticed about
that? So I'm waiting on a deal to come through.
You know what I noticed about that though? I feel, and I've seen the numbers from other companies that I've been with. Influencers have a lot of numbers and sometimes companies make the mistake of saying, well, that guy has 500,000 followers. I'm going to pay that guy instead of paying the bodybuilder who has maybe 200,000 followers. But the type of follower depends on who's selling the product, right? Indeed. So like if you're an influencer and you don't really have that much of a background, people might like watching you, but it doesn't mean they trust you and are going to buy the shit that you use or that you're promoting.
Exactly.
So I think that's where our value comes into play because you're obviously using the supplements that you're trying to promote and everything, and people can see it in your physique. So I think it's going to come back around where supplement owners start to realize that the importance of the credibility of the person they're paying, not just the numbers.
Yeah, man, that is a huge deal. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, even for me, I've had conversations. I'm always open with Lee. I'll tell him what's on my mind, you know, what I'm thinking, this, that, and the other. And a lot of people that follow me, some may not even know that I am sponsored by Lebrado. Being that, you know, formerly they had Supercharged, they had aminos, BCAAs. There were products that people who follow me, when they see that, oh, I can see how Patrick would take a pre-workout. I can see how he would utilize BCAAs.
Yeah.
Now they got rid of that. Uh-huh. So now they've gone more towards the RTDs.
And, the ready-to-drinks. You know,
the ready-to-drinks. And I get it, dude. It's all about dollars. You know, that's what's important is for a company, how you're going to make the money. Mm-hmm. And so – I always tell Lee and, you know, like I said, Hunter will say the same thing is, you know, the people, if I want to promote the product, of course, but if I'm running around like, hey, check out me with this.
Yeah. But you know what? I would drink those RTDs in off season. I just wouldn't. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I just like them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but it's like, but then, you know, when it's, if I was promoting something like, hey, Supercharge, you know, pre-workout, a brand saying you need it for recovery. Yeah. Now, when people have belief in the athlete, that leads to belief in the company. And then they don't mind spending those dollars. So I'm with you on that, man. I think that eventually it'll come back around and it'll be one of those deals where the athletes will get what they're worth. And I, for one, don't mind working for sponsorship dollars. Like, I want to feel like I'm doing something for the company and not just collecting a check, you know?
Yeah, I've always felt that way too. Every company I ever signed with, when I was trying to negotiate my deal, I always tried to work out a deal that was, it was fair in a sense that they had to pay me according to what I brought in.
Yes. Exactly.
So they would be able to kind of monitor where I was helping. Yeah. And that would produce my contract. So they never felt like they were being screwed over. And I never felt like I was being screwed over. I was always getting kind of what I was worth.
Yeah. So, and anyway, you know what, before we go on to the next subject, what I noticed with those influencer deals too, is I've noticed, and it's even, I won't name names, but it's even funny, man. I'll see some athletes and there's some pro guys and they have these ton of followers and, but the engagement and interaction doesn't add up. I'm like, okay, so you have 500,000, 600, 700, 800,000 followers, but you're getting like 13,000 likes and, you know, 40 comments. And then here I am with 165,000 and I'm getting 20,000 likes. Yeah. I'm getting more or the same. And I'm actually, people are commenting and I'm commenting back. So I'm actually engaging. So like you said, man, the companies, they're making a mistake by saying, oh, I'm just going to go with, what's your social media following? You do know that we can purchase followers. We can do that. But me, a guy actually commented yesterday on a post I had, and he was like, "Man, it's inspiring that I've seen your following grow. You know, just 1,000 here, 2,000 there. Yeah. You know, it's growing organically, and it's cool because that means that people believe in, you know, what I'm doing, you know, or they're inspired or whatnot."
That's right. No, it's funny. The last company I worked for had a software system that would show you who bought their stuff and who didn't.
Yeah.
So I kind of would sit with one of the guys there and I'd be like, "Hey man, tell me about this guy. Tell me about that guy. I fucking know everybody who bought their shit and who didn't buy their shit." Yeah. And it's pretty crazy, but I wanted to actually touch on something because the reason I wanted to get into the physical side of things and your prep, but since you already touched on it, I want to get into it now.
Yeah.
You like to comment on everybody's, you kind of respond back to everybody who comments to you, right? I do the same thing, whether it be on my YouTube channel or my Instagram. I try and like keep a high interaction rate with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the one thing I noticed is 95% of the people are positive people. And it's like, it's nice having conversations with them every day and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there's 5% that are just, you know, they're just bottom of the barrel. They're out to try and elicit some type of reaction from you.
Yeah.
And you put a video up last week, I think, or the week before.
Uh-huh.
Kind of addressing those people.
Yeah.
So what is it? Okay. First question is it hard? Does it make you, and this is something I don't think the fans understand because they get mad when people don't comment back.
Mm-hmm.
But does that 5% of assholes make you not want to comment back sometimes? Like not read your comments.
Yeah. And man, because, you know, when we put content out for me and I post progress pictures, it's for a couple of purposes for people who follow they and they're fans of what I'm doing. Right. So, cause I feel like I have these little sections of types of followers within the one big group.
Yeah.
So if I post a progress picture, of course it's going to be for the competitors, guys that are hoping to do what I do. People who are following a tight diet and they're wondering, okay, well, Patrick looked like this at 16 weeks.
Yeah.
He's following this tight diet. Now he looks like this at 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Now he looks, you know, so those type of things go up and it's only for that purpose.
Yeah.
And so you, with that, you're going to get those, some of the clowns that come out and they'll say, "Oh, well, I think you need to do this. And I think you need to do that." And in my head, the one that sparked me to post that video was one, I think it was a side chest shot.
Yeah.
Guy commented and said, "Yeah, you should work rear delts more so we can see your rear delt in that shot."
as if you're not, as if you don't train rear delts.
As if I don't train rear delts, man. And in my head, I'm thinking, but it's a side chest. So I get it. So that means that you took my photo, you blew it up,
yep,
and you zoomed in to see if you could see my rear delt.
He wanted to find a flaw that he could comment. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
My rear delts are pretty good. Yep. Everything, we can always improve everywhere, right? Yep. And so when I went ahead and made that video, the guys, everyone, well, you can't, the first thing they say, and I love it, it makes me laugh. I'm on my phone, and as I respond or I block, and I laugh. And it's funny, bro, because everyone, guys are, well, I'm not going to comment. You can't take criticism. You can't do this. I'm not. And in my head, I'm laughing and I'm like, man, you guys are touched. Like,
yeah.
And then you get the guys that come on and say, we're on your show, so I'm just going to go ahead and be blunt.
Yeah,
bodybuilders are pussies. They're sensitive.
Yeah.
Let's get one thing clear for all the guys that are watching. I'm a former boxer, right? Yeah. So, and I'm a grown man.
Yeah.
So it's funny that those guys that say that, they wouldn't dare approach a guy like me or you or some of these other guys like that in real life. So when we react to that, it's because you're disrespecting a grown man, because we're all grown men first. And I think a lot of people forget about that when they go on and criticize, because like I said, if I was to go on one of those guys' page and say, hey man, you're little, you should do more shoulder press, you need to, they would be so offended and so hurt and touched by that comment. And then, you know, it's like, as a bodybuilder, even pro guys, even non-pro guys, they make it seem as though we're not allowed to rebuttal or you have a response. And if we do, we can't take criticism. And it makes me laugh, because I'm like, you guys do realize we're in a sport where all we do is get criticized.
Yeah. No, I know. You know, go ahead.
And what kills me is, so like I explained in the video, because I didn't want to hurt, there's a lot of sensitive people out there. Sorry, it's not us bodybuilders. We laugh at you guys that put those comments, because I mean, we've heard it all. That's what I don't think they get, man. We've seen it done to other athletes on their page, and then once we kind of start to come up, we fall in the same line and they do it to us. And they got to understand, dude, that what we do embodies confidence. You know, when we're in the gym, whether you compete or not, you know, generally a physical appearance is going to exude some type of confidence. So you're able to criticize as much as you want and give recommendations or whatever you feel you want to be connected to the athlete or whatever. And that's cool. There's a way to do it. And there's a way to word what you say. And if you feel like you want to give or elicit advice, just make sure it's something that, for instance, if someone went on my page last year or year before, hey, you should grow your legs. I mean, come on, no shit, dude. I just started bodybuilding. I'm going on my sixth year in this sport. I'm coming from something that has nothing to do with bodybuilding. So everything takes, but when guys do that, it's like, you want to tell them no shit. Right?
Yeah.
And then that's why I went on to tell them, guys, if I wanted advice on how to build legs, I'd hit you up. I'd say, hey, man, dude, your legs are great, dude. You got any recommendations on, you know, I'm not going to listen to someone who has no vested interest in what I'm doing, especially based on how they look. I'm like, okay, so you don't even do what you're telling me I should do.
That's right. Yeah.
So how can you believe in that? So that's why I went on to tell them, for the people who wanted to be sensitive, guys, we communicate with judges and other athletes and a coach or a trainer. So where we may have flaws, we have experienced professionals to tell us that, not people that looking at a picture, because we all know if I post a picture, like you said, see, I could post a picture and lean back and look like this, right? But then if I get right on the camera and I'm like this,
you're way bigger.
So you're looking at these pictures and they're making these calls and it's like, you guys don't understand, you know what you're talking about. So I said, don't waste your time, because I'll just click the three little dots, block and delete. it's three taps and you're done.
I know. I've done it many times. Trust me. I think there's a couple things. I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm also going to agree with you a little bit. So, okay, when somebody comes on and makes just derogatory comments that are kind of baseless or senseless, those people I just block. I don't even bother with that. When people come on and they say, you know, your waist is a little thick, you know, you should work on your waist, I don't get offended, because I'm like, okay, I know that. I see it. Everybody else sees it. It's not a fucking secret. So it doesn't offend me. I'm like, I'll just type back, like, I'm working on it, dude, and I'll move on with it, right? So the part I'm going to defend you about is, you're right. We all have coaches. We all have judges. We all know other people that are on our level that we can turn to for advice. So it's a little silly for someone to say, grow your legs or fix your waist or whatever, because we already fucking know that shit.
Yeah.
The defense and on their side is, they can't be invested in the sport if they're not allowed to be judges.
Oh yeah.
So they feel like for the sport to be fun for them, they have to be able to critique.
Yeah.
Say like, yeah. I like Patrick. Patrick's a great bodybuilder, but maybe he needs some more rear delts. Like that's what that guy was thinking, right?
Yeah.
So where I just want to know, like, I don't know where we draw the line between you're annoying me now, or you're allowed to say that, because that's part of the sport, is we just have to accept that, you know, it's like football. If you're watching a football game, they might say like, well, that running back, shit, he should run faster, or he should learn how to cut better. It's like that running back probably fucking knows that already. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah,
but that's how you get engaged in the sport. So as bodybuilders, where do we allow them to say things, and where do we draw the line? That's kind of where.
So for me, and I think that's a valid point, man. I like to look at it like this. On that particular picture when I post, and some stuff when I post, I think that just like when we block or we delete and we do whatever we're going to do or comment back, these people have to understand that we're the athlete. It's our page. We determine the narrative. If we want to entertain whatever, we'll entertain whatever. If we want to block it and do this, or we don't want this kind of content, even Instagram even created where you can go in and filter certain words.
And restrict things,
Yeah. To restrict things, and you can restrict an individual from commenting. We control the narrative on our page, because if you only want to see positivity, then that's great. If you don't mind, you leave it open.
Yeah.
I leave mine open, right? My deal with that is, I think the fans have to realize, unless we're posting, because when we put something out there, some guys will say, hey, I'm thinking of doing a front double bicep like this with this leg pointed and maybe my hips shifted. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
You know, when there's a way that us as an athlete, we're going to put it out there if we're kind of looking for that advice.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, because then it should let the people know, like, oh, okay, so he cares about what we think.
Mm.
If I put a shot up and I say it's back day, I'm excited to go train my back.
Yeah.
I'm training my back to improve it. So for someone to go in there and say, hey, you should – a guy commented yesterday. I just put up some clips. I had a shirt on, so obviously you can't see my back.
I saw that clip. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to do low rows for your low lat.
You can't see them.
And
I love that.
I went to his page and I was like, you know, okay, man. And I went on and I said, I don't do either of those because I don't like them. It was underhand barbell rows.
So for
me, they kill my elbows and my shoulders. My body just doesn't like it.
That
kind of stuff, it's like, come on, dude. You're that point that you're making, that's a void. You're telling a personal trainer, because that's another thing, too, and that's why I told the one guy on the other post, I'm a personal trainer first, man. I can break down my body and know, hey, you need to improve here. Your triceps are gaining some size. Don't let your rear delts lack. Mm-hmm. You know, make sure you get your front delt, because your biceps are this, that. You know, I know about balance and creating a physique, because we're all artists as bodybuilders.
Yeah.
So I know they want to feel connected to the sport and connected to the athlete. So their opinions or critiques are always welcome.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's just, you have to think about, well, if someone is overweight, that's like me going on their page and say, hey, you know, you should do more cardio.
Yeah. They already
know. They're going to be like, oh, okay. But, you know, it's the people have to understand, like, for certain comments, like you said, that's where the annoyance comes in. It's like, okay, man, you're not the first one to say that. And like with the tattoos, every post I put up, oh, those tattoos are so horrible. Oh, they ruin your physique.
Yeah.
Guys, I said like three posts ago that they're getting removed.
Oh, you're getting removed? You
know? Oh, yeah. That's why this one is so light.
You think they actually make a difference in your arms, though?
So, you know, I used to hit my side tricep from my right side.
Yeah.
I have all this ink here.
Yeah.
And when I started getting this left one removed, and this was just, it didn't have anything to do with bodybuilding. I just wanted gone.
Yeah.
And I was meeting with Phil, and he was like, hey, turn and hit your side tricep from the left side. And I hit it, and I could notice, since that ink is gone,
okay,
so the horseshoe,
you can see more detail.
A lot better.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that comes into play, is I just want to present a more detailed, clean physique, you know, so the separation, because it's, we're getting judged by human eyes.
Yeah.
And so if they look and they see this big tribal, it's kind of hard in that one split second while they're looking at six other athletes for them to really like look and is that a line or what is that? Is that a stripe? You know? Yeah. So that's the reason that was coming off.
It's funny though. I like, you had them at the Olympia and I never even noticed.
Yeah.
So because because it's on your arms. Like, you know, guys who get their whole back tattooed.
Yeah.
I feel like it ruins your back detail.
Yep.
But I feel like on your arms, it doesn't really bother. Like, I don't know, maybe it'll look different when it's gone, but I don't remember seeing it at the Olympia and thinking, oh, that's ruining the look of his arms. Like, I don't.
So I had a Donise Christian. So she's a pro. Yeah. And she's one of the head pro tan cheaters.
Yeah.
She created this mix.
Oh.
And she was able to.
They blended over it.
Oh, man. It was a great job she did. And I even looked at the photos and I was like, damn, you can't even tell I have ink.
Yeah.
And so. That's why. That may not be the case on every competition, because she had to like prep me separate.
Yeah.
Like I went in after everyone was done. She took her time. She tried a few things. And so that's how that turned out. And
most of the time with those cover-up jobs, it ends up making the skin look thick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she didn't want to do that. She created like this, it was a reddish color. And once we got on stage, man, it just came through really, really good. But it was red and dark, and because she didn't want to do the cover up, she was like, you know what, I'm gonna make a different color for you. It's gonna be slightly different, but you'll like it. And so it was great, man.
Yeah.
And but you know, the fans have to understand, dude. I like communicating with them, and I play basketball and I box, and I have been in these sports where I've been critiqued before. So. Yeah. We welcome the criticism because we know that's how you feel connected. But if you're going to, like you said, it's the remarks of like just that one made me post a video. And I'm like, Riddell, come on, dude. It's a side chest shot.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so guys, one guy got on there. Another guy said, oh, you should lean back when you hit that shot. And I looked on his page. He's not even a competitor.
Yeah. I know.
Dude,
I know.
Come on, man. You're wasting your time. And then when those are the ones, the only reason I post that because when you don't respond, then you don't engage. And you know what's funny? And this, I'll wrap it up on my side with this.
Oh, it's okay.
Yesterday I posted, and people were commenting. One guy got on there, and because, dude, I was running around with Dan, I had seven clients. Yeah. I had the workout. I had a ton of stuff to do on a Friday. It was nonstop.
Yeah.
So as the comments were building up, the guy, he went on there, and he said, you may want to start liking and responding to these comments. That's the way you engage the fit fam. And I was like, so I'm not human. I don't have a life. I can just sit here.
You sit there all day long. Yeah.
All day. Dude, I don't have a manager. I'm working. I have a personal life. I can only do so much. I'm trying to comment back to YouTube, to Instagram, emails from online clients.
Yeah.
I get a ton of stuff. And I'm like, man. So you guys are starting to feel, and it's crazy because Phil told me this. He said, man, it's great that you do that. Eventually, it's going to outrun you. But what's going to happen is you're not going to be able to respond to everyone, and then they'll start to hate you because they'll think that they're entitled to your response. And when you can't, because you literally physically can't get to it, then you'll become something else, you know. And he was like, so you have to be careful with that. So I like to engage the fans, and their criticism is welcome as long as they're like, well, this is my point of view on it. Okay, cool, man. I got it. I'm working on it. I'm on top of it, you know?
Yeah. As far as that one guy goes, that's always going to happen. I don't think – it's funny because have you ever talked to Brandon Curry about this? So,
no. Uh-uh.
So one day me and Brandon, when we were working at SciTech together, this has always been a thing for me. This answering people has always been a conflicted issue for me because I like talking to the people that I can tell are my fans. You can tell when someone's a fan and when someone's just coming on to be a dick or just to fucking voice their shitty opinion, whatever it is. You can tell the difference. So I like going on and talking to people that actually support me.
Yeah.
But like you said, in the process, you see all the shitty comments, right? So I said to Brandon one day, I said, look what this guy just said on your page. And it was some really shitty comment to Brandon, right? Brandon's like, I didn't even know that. And I'm like, what do you mean? You had like 300 comments here. You didn't see that? And he's like, I don't answer my comments. Like, I don't read them. I go, you're not going to delete. Maybe he does now, but at the time he didn't. I go, you're not going to delete this off your page. You're just going to leave it. He goes, yeah, I don't care. I go, but don't you feel like it's disrespectful to just leave that on your page? Someone calling you like an asshole or a roid head or something. Like, don't you want to get rid of that? Like off your page?
Yeah.
He goes, no, I could give a shit. He goes, my actual fans know that that guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
So I don't need to defend myself. They understand who I am. And this guy's obviously somebody who's just passing by.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense to me, but even though it made sense, I've never been able to be that guy.
Yeah.
Who just ignores it.
Yeah. Let me tell you what's cool about that, man. I love every single one of my fans, dude. And it's cool because the last podcast we did, a ton of people that are huge fan of yours came over to my page and they're like, damn, Patrick's pretty cool.
Yeah.
What I love about those guys, man, the real fans, dude, they are like wolves.
Yeah.
So what will happen is there'll be that one asshole.
I know. Yeah.
And I witnessed this, dude.
Yeah.
And let the one guy go, dude, they fucking attack. And it's like, dude, they will tear my, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I fucking love these fans, dude.
Yeah.
And a guy commented on a post I put up. And immediately, God was like, are you fucking stupid? Are you blind?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the guy, he had 20 comments on his 20 on his grid.
Post. Yeah, yeah.
The last eight said, well, that escalated quickly. I won't say anything else. I shouldn't have said anything. Bro, I looked at my phone and I was like, yeah, damn right. My boys got you. Like, they went after your ass.
Yeah, so, it's a dilemma I think we're just always going to have to deal with. If you're interactive, but I think Phil's right. You know, I think about that too sometimes is when you get like, my YouTube channel is getting bigger and bigger now. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can keep up with all these questions, all these comments all the time. Right.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes if people are going to feel resented or resentful when I can't answer all of them, you know, and your popularity is, you know, it's funny. This is one of the things I want to talk to you about was when you went to the Olympia, you're relatively unknown.
Oh yeah,
big time. So you were able to walk into the show kind of as a dark horse and really fucking freak people out because people are like, who the fuck is this guy? He's like amazing.
Yeah.
Now you're walking into your, first of all, you're way more popular. Everybody knows who you are, or almost everybody. And
yeah,
you're walking into the Arnolds in almost the same Olympia lineup, minus like Brandon Curry and Hadi.
Yeah.
But with an addition of like Josh Lenarowitz and some other great guys like Lionel Bayeki and all this. So how are you going to, you know, you're going to do this Arnold's and popularity is going to soar even more. How are you going to handle the kind of the fame that's coming with it?
So that's a good question, man. And I think where I have to start knowing, because I've seen you pop up a couple of times on the screen. I'm going to have to start getting more engaged, man. And question and answer or Instagram live or something, biggest platform is, and people, hey guys, this is when I'm actually going to take some time and I'm going to sit down and really answer any questions, because, and they'll just have to understand that I, with me being a working man, an individual that, you know, how do I prep my own food, you know, like I said, I get very busy. Actually, I'm living a normal life just like they are. I'm just trying to do something extraordinary.
Yeah.
And so this way hopefully they'll understand, like, mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of right. He is only one person. Mm-hmm. If he was to do that, how is he going to make a living for his family? I mean, this guy's training people an hour at a time. So when I get that short little 2-hour break, man, that's my time to eat and train. And I kind of go back to it. And that's why sometimes people will see me commenting like late at night. It'll be 12 a.m., 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm commenting back to people because that's generally the only time I can catch up.
Yeah.
But that's why I said on the YouTube channel, eventually it's going to outrun me. And there won't be anything I can do about it. I will just, you know, try my best to interact with them as much as I can. Dude, at the Olympia, like you said, my popularity was going into the Olympia.
Yeah.
Dude, I was literally like dying on my feet. I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
And my wife was there and my friends were there and they were like, hey, you got to go. And I'm like, yeah, but there's people in the line.
You mean meet the fans? The Olympian. Yeah.
Dude, I stood there until every single person, and there was at least 1,100 people that came through there.
Yeah.
And I was hurting. I was hungry.
Yeah, I've been there.
My feet, oh, dude, you know, when you really suffer, bro, you know, because I've seen your face super suck. Yeah.
I remember it actually ruined my prep one Arnold.
Really?
Yeah, because I got there and we, you know, you're, it's like, it's weird. You're, you know, when your metabolism's like burning real fast.
Yeah.
It was like just standing there shaking hands and talking, my face got more and more and more depleted. Yeah, just in like that 2 or 3 hours.
Yep.
And I had to re-catch up to my carb load afterwards. And it and I never got it back. But anyway, so sorry, go on. So you're standing there, you're dying during the meet the fans.
Yeah, and I'm like, you, bro, I just could not. And they were telling me, come on, let's go. You got to eat, And Phil told me beforehand, he was like, dude, you're going to have someone facilitate that. And when you're done, you got to shut it down. Yeah. But I could not be that guy. And like you said, it's for all the fans that's watching, dude, I literally get stressed out when I look and I see that the comments are over 300.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like,
how do I go through these?
Yeah. I'm like, I have to cook. I need to go to sleep because I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. How am I going to get back to all these people? And so in my brain, I'm thinking, okay, branding. You're trying to brand yourself. You're trying to connect with people so they know that you're normal and they can actually, because, dude, what I'm doing, I'm trying to inspire people, especially with me having the start that I did, starting later in the sport. A lot of people see like the new blood shirts. And, you know, that kind of just symbolizes like, no matter when you start, you'll start something new. If you go in there with some fire or go after your dream with 100%, you'd be surprised what can happen. Yeah. So I'm here trying to, the people that are following, see like, man, this guy came out of nowhere. He was not a bodybuilder from a teenager. He did not even think about doing competition until he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so when people see that, I feel like that inspires them like, man, that's crazy. And now within 5 years, we just saw him on the biggest stage in his chosen profession.
You know, so
I feel like when I can't communicate with the fans, I feel like, you know, maybe they might lose faith or maybe they're like, you know, but dude, I care about all of them. I just can only, me and you both, I can imagine you, but you know, we can only do so much. You know,
I think you have a really good point. Your strategy is actually really good. I think fans would appreciate if you said, look, I can't keep up with all the comments. I'm going to take like an hour on Tuesday and Thursday or whatever it is, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and do an hour of Q&A on my live on my Instagram. If you did something like that, then you wouldn't have to answer all the comments. They know this is their block and they can see you at that time on that day. And you're going to answer whatever questions you can. Another trick. And I don't know if you do this. I just use emojis a lot.
So I started doing that. And that's what people are like, well, dude, just like the comment or, you know, And I'm like, and so if you go now, you'll see, I saw it on your page.
Well, because honestly, it's hard to, because if you have 200 comments, it's hard to write thank you to everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
300 times. So I just put the thank you emoji and I move on.
You have to.
Because I want them to know that I'm acknowledging them.
Yeah.
But I also trying to save my time too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got laughed at by Phil after I won the California Pro because, you know, then I started getting, you know, people started knowing who I was.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, I was sitting at home and I just watched you like try to respond. Thank you. Every comment he said, he was laughing. And I was like, dude, I think I had blisters on my phone by the time I was done. Because it's like, you're like you said, man, everyone is, their comments say, look great. Good luck. Hey, we can't wait to see you. You know, you want to say thank you to everybody.
You're just acknowledging.
Because you don't want to shortchange them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like you now. I'm like, okay, I just give like the fist symbol or the pound, 100 or something. So they know like, I got you, man. Thank you. Because like I said, I try to get to everybody, you know?
Yeah. So how many Reese's Pieces have you had in the last, how many weeks have you been dieting now? Six? Eight?
So we've been on, I started the middle end of December. So the one plus about this prep. I had an in, I guess I had an idea that I was going to get the invite to the Arnold.
Okay.
And so, because originally that's the show I wanted to do before the Olympia, but you know, it just happened that I qualified first. And so after Olympia, I was like, well, you know what, if that's a possibility, let me not completely relax the off season mode. Let me teeter the line. And I enjoyed a little bit in November, Thanksgiving. And around the first week of December, I said, okay, you know what, let me, you know, me and Chris are going back and forth. He said, send me some pictures. Mm-hmm. So I sent him over and he said, okay, well, this is the diet. Mm-hmm. So he had it. You know, I was already within striking range. I was only like up maybe 7-8 pounds from Olympia. So it's like, okay, if we drop this weight, you know, we'll get right back to at least what we were then. And so we we probably kind of hit full throttle around the beginning of January.
Okay.
And it was like, okay, you know, hey, we're, this is the second quarter. We need to go ahead and get going. So, man, I've actually been really good. So with, I dropped the Reese's because.
So wait a minute. So you have 3 weeks in December that you were like kind of strict, but not fully strict. And then you're full throttle in January, and that's been 3 weeks. So it's been 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Yeah.
Did you have any Reese's pieces in the first 3 weeks of your kind of dieting?
Okay. So no Reese's pieces, right? The guy from Falcon Nuts, Brandon, he is super cool, and he sent me some stuff that had some crazy macros on it, and of course, those peanut butters. Yeah. So you know that I use that to kind of kill the cravings. But let me tell you what's interesting.
All right.
So remember, I told you I ate all those Reese's that one time.
That's right. Yeah.
And sitting in the car, and I was like, "What have I done?"
That's the worst feeling in the world.
I think about that, dude. I looked at the floor and I was like, oh God, like Jesus Christ. It was just the box of wrappers, and you're just
it's like you black out for like 5 minutes and then you don't know what happened. Yeah.
Dude, I was sitting there and it was just like mindless, just one and pop and pop and then pop and I looked over and I was like, okay, cool. We've already had 20. There's 10 packs because I bought the 36 count box, the whole box.
Yeah.
And
That was your first mistake. You shouldn't have bought the 36. Man. Yeah.
But they won't sell. I mean, they were like $2 for $1. I couldn't pass it up, bro. They were $2 for $1.
Yeah.
And so I saw the last 10 and I was like, yeah, fuck it, man. Just eat them. Go ahead. Yeah. And I ate them all. And when I was done, I was like, what have you done? Like, you just, you know. But it was funny, man, because so the next day I looked crazy and I just thought it was happenstance. It was one of those freak stories. But what I've come to find out this last visit, I went up there to see Phil, man, the reason my body reacted well to that is apparently, I guess just from my genetics or whatever, my body loves fats and it processes them very well. Yep. So only thing that has happened, is it just makes me more vascular. Yeah. Right. And maybe slight water retention, but it wasn't much different because I remember getting up the next morning and sending pictures to Chris and he was like, wow, this is the best you've looked so far. And he was right.
Yeah.
We compared and I was like, this is crazy. Should I tell him I just ate 36 packs of Reese's or what? And of course I didn't.
Did you?
No,
I told him when I was working with him, I did the same thing. You know how he gives you like a cheat and he'll be like, go have a burger and two fries or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah.
So he kept doing that like the first 3 weeks we worked together. And then he would ask me the next day, how's your workout? How do you look? And I'm like, it's all right. Like, so the fourth week, he's like, go have a burger and two fries. So I did that, but then I fucking went ape shit like afterwards. I ate like all this dessert and all this crap. And I woke up the next day and I fucking looked crazy. And I had an amazing, so he asked me, he's like, what'd you do? And I'm like, I got to tell you, man, I fucking went crazy. I ate a whole bunch of shit, but I look better and I feel better. And he's like, well, I guess you just keep doing it then. So he didn't care. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, anyway. I'll have to tell him, but it's crazy, man. I found out, a little more strict.
So you found out that fats are making you feel better and look better.
Yeah. It just seems like, I haven't had, and of course, you know, you have your good fats and bad fats, I haven't had the cravings. I haven't had anything that's going to be really detrimental to the progress that I'm having, making.
So we started on this road because you were talking about, is it Falcon Nuts?
Oh, yeah, Falcon Nuts, yeah.
So is that what you're switching the Reese's Pieces with?
Because it's serving the same purpose without the calorie and fat intake.
But
there is fat in it, but it's less.
Yeah.
And, dude, there's, like, low or no sodium. It's amazing, dude. And there's like 20 different flavors. I mean, what they're doing an amazing thing over there at the company for people who love peanut butter because, dude, you can have a few scoops of it and you're just fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like s'mores and cookie dough and dude, they're just crazy. Yeah. So utilizing that because I know that this, like you said, man, this lineup is as tough or maybe tougher than the Olympia. So I'm just trying to really stick to my guns because we're more dense this time around and a lot more hard. And we found out how to keep me full because we were just taking the wrong route with the cardio. So me playing sports formally, you know, I'm used to high intensity cardio. So, man, once we slowed that down, Yeah. We noticed that my skin was getting thinner and thinner while keeping the fullness. And see, people thought the Olympia was a good showing. Dude, I'm going to make that showing look like shit because I wasn't full.
You think you're going to be more shredded?
Man, no question. And I have yet to be full at a show. Every show I've done, I've been flat. Every single show.
Yeah, yeah.
And Chris knows it because I know when I'm flat because I don't have a lot of vascularity going on.
Yeah.
And what's funny, man, is so after the Olympia, even though I felt I looked better on Friday night, mm-hmm. on Saturday, Jim Mannion saw me backstage. She's like, much better tonight.
Yeah.
And I went back and I was like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, mm-hmm. it's no way. Like, we planned to peak the first night. So it's not even possible.
Yeah.
And I went back and I looked and I could see the vascularity in my legs and my arms and my abs. And I was like, so that gave me a harder appearance. I was a little more full.
Yeah.
So now with that, this time going around, you know, I'm going to have to share with Chris, like, hey, man, you know, since we're so depleted, we're going to have to feed me a little bit because if you do, I promise you'll like the result, you know.
Yeah,
so I'm going to blow that look away, man.
So I'm assuming then by what you're telling me is most of the time your diets have been carbs and protein. You don't do a lot of fats. Yeah.
Not a lot. No, none. I mean, the fats are super low, dude. I mean,
see, that's one of the things. I'm a huge advocate of fats. Ever since I started working with John Meadows, John taught me about fats and how they can help you and how they work with the body. And see, for somebody like you, I think it's an amazing idea. For me, it's a little different because if I eat too much fat, my stomach gets bloated and it looks worse. But you have a tiny little fucking waist, man. So with you, the added fats are just going to the muscle, and it's not fucking up your look.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what's happening.
Yeah. No, it's a good idea, man.
Yeah. So it's pretty crazy, man. And it's funny. I was talking to a guy down here that owns a gym. He's like, yeah, you know, Chris does this and does that. And he's like,
yeah.
I think that you're a bit of a challenge for him though, because he had my food pretty low. I mean, dude, it was like we're doing four solid meals and two shakes. And that just was, you know, for me, it was not enough food.
But I've done that. But when I looked my best, I did that too. Like I did when I worked with Chad Nichols, when I used to get like uber fucking shredded, like when I was younger.
Yeah.
Chad used to peel me down. And I was the same way like you. I used to feel like I was never really full, but I never got that shredded as I did with Chad, even though I was a little flatter.
Yeah.
I definitely had like a crisper look. And it was the same thing. I was doing two shakes a day and four whole food meals, and it was never felt like enough food.
Yeah.
But maybe that's your recipe though. Like maybe that's why you look so great.
Yeah. But I'm wondering, you know, with me coming from naturally being a smaller guy, I graduated high school. I was like 160 or 155 pounds. That's why I can't bulk. You know, guys are like, oh man, you look amazing year round. No, guys, I'm trying to eat. I mean, pizza and burgers and shit, ice cream, candy. I mean, all this stuff. And my body, man, it incinerates it.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, I feel like at the Olympia, and it's crazy because I went back and I compared some prep pictures.
Yeah.
I've been more full throughout a prep, just not on stage.
Yeah.
And I think now I'm at that age where I'm able to put on some more muscle and I'm going to need more food to feel that or else, you know, I won't be able to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've been keeping up some, and not the carbs, just the protein, bro. And it has made, in a week, it's made a ton of difference. I was up 10 pounds in 4 days.
Really?
And not water, because the only thing I did was add protein. There was no extra rice, no potatoes, no nothing.
Yeah.
And I got up in the morning, and I was like, what the hell is going on? And every morning since then, dude, I have gotten more dense and tighter every day.
So it's
crazy.
Sorry to interrupt. I just how much protein are you doing now?
So let me see.
Like now what's the addition? Like how much did you add to start feeling?
Oh, it has to be at least 120 extra grams. Easy.
Like for the day, obviously. Yeah.
For the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because I was having the two shakes, but it was only 50 grams each.
Yeah.
So what I did was I upped both of those to 75.
Yeah.
And then I added 2 ounces of protein to each meal. So instead of 8 ounces of chicken twice a day, I did 10 ounces.
Cooked.
And then on the fish, 10 ounces cooked.
Yeah.
And then on the fish, where I was doing 10 ounces, I increased that to 12 ounces cooked.
Yep.
And then I added in an additional 10 ounces of red meat at the end of the day, because my body responds very, very well to red meat. And I'm guessing it's because of the fats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, bro, every morning, it's just getting better and better and better. Yeah. And it's crazy. You know, I think my body type just needs that. It has to have that little extra, you know?
Yeah.
So
can I tell you, it's funny because people talk about you don't need a lot of protein if you're eating carbs, because carbs are protein sparing, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you, the strongest I've ever been in the gym and the best I've ever looked, I was eating 12 ounces of protein, of meat per meal. So I was doing 12 ounces of fish, 12 ounces of chicken, 12 ounces of steak, and that's cooked. It's a fucking ton of food. Like, it's hard to eat.
Yeah.
But I could see it, and I was stronger in the gym because of it. So when people say, oh, you can only absorb, you know, 30 or 40 grams, I feel like it's bullshit. I'm like,
I think so. Yeah.
It doesn't.
I agree with you 100%.
And now I do 6 ounces, and I don't feel the same way I felt when I was doing 8 or 10. So yeah. I think what you're doing, you're on the right track, man. Like, it sounds like it's going to work for you.
Yeah, man. It's good, bro. I was excited about the Olympia prep, but this one, I cannot wait to get on stage. These guys, when everyone's like, oh, you know, this big Rami's this, and I got a ton of respect for all the athletes, but my responsibility is my look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know, but you guys just wait till I come back. Yeah, just wait because it's different. And you know, with that, figuring out that one little deal with the food, man, it's going to give me a more, because when I was training with Phil, he was like, look how round you are.
Yeah.
He was like, and you're like that from just adding a meal. And he was like, you think if you do this consistently, once you go back home. And so he gave me some tidbits of information, and dude, it's just been helpful. And I'm ready, man. It's going to be a good show.
So I have a couple questions about that leading up to it. So now that you are more well-known, I always felt like getting ready for shows was easier when nobody expected me to do well.
Mm-hmm.
I just handled the pressure better. Yeah. Is the pressure now that everybody knows who you are, is it harder for you to get ready for this show, or you feel like you're absorbing it and like it's making you more excited?
It is, because this sport, I carry that mentality, like, I don't care what anyone thinks, which, you know, and most guys like us, they do this sport, we're going to do what we're going to do anyway, right?
Yeah.
We're going to have the mentality we're going to have. This sport, you know, it's validation is a part of this sport. So eventually, you know, whether it's positive or negative, you're going to hear it. And you have to determine, like, what you're going to let penetrate your consciousness, you know. So for me, if I hear this or I hear that, I decide on what I want to let into my brain.
Can I stop you? Can I stop you for 1 second? I don't mean other people. I don't mean like fans and shit. I don't mean that kind of pressure. I'm talking about the pressure from the pressure I always felt was, let's say the Arnold's always fucked me up. I never looked good at the Arnold's because it was just such a big show. The pressure got to me, and the pressure for me wasn't the fans. The pressure. We got a guest. You got a guest.
Oh, no, that's my wife. She in there. Don't mess with my shoes.
Does she want to say hi?
She right here. You can say hi. She's been messing with my shoes, looking at my kicks, man. So,
hi.
You know, she,
how are you?
He said, how are you?
I'm great.
Is he a pain in the ass when he's dieting or no?
Let me see.
You got your headphones on.
Yeah, I had the headphones on.
Just translate. Translate to her.
Oh, look, right, take them off.
Okay.
I said, is he a pain in the ass when he's dieting, or is he good to be around still?
He said, am I a pain in the ass when I'm dieting?
Oh, yeah. No, he's not too bad. I'm not gonna lie.
No? He's all right? Doesn't drive you crazy?
Well, things are getting better, but in the beginning, it was just a huge transition for both of us, you know, with all the dieting and everything. But things are getting better. He's not so bad, because we kind of have a routine down.
Yeah.
He knows what he has to do, so...
Yeah, it was tough for me and my wife when, like, we first got together too. She didn't really grasp like what I was doing, and then after a little while together, she started to understand that I was just going to be crazy for 4 months.
So yeah, it's a transition phase, and you have to kind of let them know, like, hey, this isn't about you. And if I'm quiet, or if I'm, you know, it's because I, you know, you're thinking about what you have to do, the job you have to do. Are you going to perform at the highest level? You know, and that's what I think, the pressure comes in on the athlete, and then it's, you know, the spouse has to kind of understand, okay, well, I know you're in the zone and but I'm here if you need me, but, you know, just kind of, you got to kind of let us do our thing a little bit, you know?
So you're handling that well. You're kind of like just there when he needs you, and you're okay with that?
Yeah, for the most part, because what I do for a living keeps me pretty busy. So
yeah.
I'm always on the go and, you know, just kind of chasing my own thing too. So for the most part, we kind of have something down to where if I do need anything, which is very rare. Yeah. I think I'm pretty independent and good on my own sometimes, right? Yeah.
Is he making you eat all his diet food, or are you?
Oh no! See, that's the thing too. I do not. I mean, I have like my own little diet where I do my smoothies and things like that. So if I am gonna have like a cheat meal, I try to do it away from home. So
that's good. Already know. That's good. At least you don't do it in front of him.
Yeah, dude. And most of the time it's seafood, and I'm allergic to seafood, so I'm like, oh, all right. But it's the other stuff. It's if I come here and there's pizza or wings in the damn refrigerator. And I'm like, okay, man, you're tripping. Like, come on now.
So I try to do it when he's away. Like, I'll tell him, like, hey, I'm going to stop by my spot on the way home. So he kind of already knows what that is. So, like, I'm going to eat something, and I don't want to bring it to the house.
Yeah.
I don't want you to kind of, you know, get jealous.
Yeah, I get it. See, that's a good wife you got, man. She's like, yeah. A lot of women don't understand what we do. That's really, really cool.
Yeah, dude, it's tough in that you got to just let them know, like, hey, when, like you said, if it's 3-4 months, I know it's going to get like crazy, but I'm here, but I'm just like, you know, you're zoned in, and you have to be through, because the worst thing you could do is to deal with nonsense. Okay. And have a lot going on. And then when it's time to perform, you can't, cause your brain is, you know, is elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like you were saying with the pressure.
Yeah.
I think,
I just want to clear up what I was asking. I was talking more about the business side of bodybuilding. So when it came to big shows for me, I always felt like, okay, this is my chance to step into the top tier.
Yeah.
And if I step into the top tier, that means it's going to mean more guest posing money. It's going to mean more supplement money. It's going to mean more client money. Like, your whole life changes if you can place well at some of these shows, especially if you do it repeatedly.
Gotcha. So
that's more the pressure I'm talking about. Do you feel any of that, or are you like absorbing it well?
I think that pressure makes me want to perform at a higher level, because those are the things that I want. I feel like you said, you know, when you get the guest posies, that means some traveling. So you'll probably be able to make appearances and go places and see things that, you know, a normal person normally wouldn't get paid a few grand here or there to go and just explore and see a lot of stuff. Yeah. And, you know, ultimately I think, as far as, I just try to keep in mind, like, I have to be what I just did. So I think when I stay focused on that, everything else is kind of white noise, and my brain is kind of in the, whatever comes, hey, we'll cross that bridge when it gets there. Mm-hmm. But that is the stuff that I expect, because that's what I want. You know, I feel like guest posing will connect me with the fans.
Yeah.
And if it comes with a bigger supplement contract, that's awesome too, because, you know, right now this is the time where I have to think about, what is it going to be? What are you going to do when this sport is over? Because I won't always be able to do this. You know,
right.
I'm 5 years in now. By the time I'm done, it'll probably be 15 years. And it's one of those deals like, hey, man, you got to start thinking about retirement now, even though you're new. So if the pressure comes and I say, hey, you got to go, and you need to do this and do that, well, you better do it, because bodybuilders, man, we don't have life insurance policies or retirement plans. So, you got to be ready to go, and you got to perform at a high level. And like you said, if you want that, expect them. Just be ready for them when they come.
You're older than I was when I was in your position, or when I was doing better competitively. So you probably know this already, but if I can give you any advice in bodybuilding, which Phil probably has already given you since you're friends with fucking Mr. Olympia, but I felt like I never made enough relationships.
Yeah.
That means with like promoters, judges, just anybody, gym owners, supplement store owners. I never felt like I cherished those relationships enough, because I was too busy focused on just bodybuilding and being in the gym. And I never focused on any of the peripheral stuff enough. And I think that's the stuff that helps you later on when you are going to retire, you are going to, right? So
exactly.
I'm sure somebody has said that to you already, but just in case.
Yeah, no, man, that's great advice, because we can get tunnel vision and think like, cause all on my mind is, you know, beating everyone and becoming Miss Olympia. And in the interim, I had to create, you know, two personas. So there's Patrick Moore, the bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And this is what he does. You zone in when you're in the gym. You have to lift. You know, I even made a habit of putting my phone down.
Yeah.
You can't be worried about that. You can't look at Instagram comments. You can't, like, you need to focus on this, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's Patrick Moore, that's going to be the business side of the sport that I have to think about later in life. So, for instance, like Lee took us up to Europa, and we went up there and we met the guys that own Europa, and they, you know, a couple of them are IFBB judges. So you make those relationships, and then we created like a press packet, and we sent it out so they can start to see like who Patrick Moore is, you know, what kind of accomplishments I have, just a little bit of background information. And then, like you said, I think that's where the social media comes in, because, man, I get hit up a lot by gyms. Hey, you can have a free workout. If you want to come, if you're in town, you're welcome to come here. So I visit those places when I go, because, like you said, man, the relationships are what's going to sustain me later, because those would be the people that I pull from when I want to make a business decision. If I wanted to start a supplement company, I don't want to take on that monster. But I'm just saying, you know, I can help the guys at Europa and say, hey, man, how would you go about this? Because I would need major distribution. You know, what products sell well? You know, there's all these different things. And so I have to connect with people that are able to do other things other than bodybuilding. So I love the other athletes, and I like to kick it with them and talk with them. But, you know, I have to make sure that I'm paying attention to the people who aren't athletes. And, you know, they do other things surrounding the sport. So this way, man, I'm multifaceted. When it's all said and done, I'm like, okay, well, what do I want to do now? Well, I've met all these great people, so let me just pick and choose.
That's right. You said something in that in the process of that was you want to beat everybody. And I know you don't want to answer this question, but is there anybody – and I know you'd be lying if you say there isn't, but I'll let you get, I'll let you get away with it. I'm not going to press you, but is there anybody in the Arnold lineup that you want to beat? Because I know when I was competing, there was always somebody.
Yeah.
I was like, I'd like to beat that guy because I think I'm better. I just – I'd like – and he'll put me over a hump. Like, there's a certain – you know, there's a certain hump that you need to get over. Is there somebody in the lineup you want to beat?
All seven or eight of those guys that
– Don't say that. Don't say that.
Because – for me, they're the good thing about it, those guys that came from Olympia, that for me, they're mile markers. So my my number one target would be to go after Dexter. And he's seasoned. He has he's the most winningest professional. He knows this game. He's a multi-winner at the Arnold Classic. If I could get over Dexter, that – and he was fourth at the Olympia. So, and he's been as high as second. He's won the Miss Olympia. So, and every time he's been always, fucking Dexter's always in the top five.
So,
he is like in my radar because if I know he's beaten all these other guys.
Okay, but wait a minute. Is he in your radar because you know beating him would make you, would put you in that top tier? Or is he in your radar because you think you can beat him?
Oh, he's the top tier. So,
I want to know who you are looking at, and you're like, I think I could beat that guy. That's the guy.
Fucking Cedric. Yeah, I'm coming for you. I'm coming.
I'm supposed to have Cedric on next week. I'm going to tell him.
Yeah, he knows. We were already on social media, and he said he tried to knock my side chest. I said, okay, motherfucker. Just wait. Like, I'll get you coming here in March. And it's cool because his fans even got in. And they were like, Cedric's going to smoke you. He's this. And I'm like, hey, you guys are fucking crazy. Like, send him up there on that Arnold stage, and we're going to take care of him when we're up there. But, yeah, Cedric, he's the one I'm like, yeah, that I'm going to beat you. I want to get you. And then it was cool. I put him in my radar because at the Olympia, he pulled me forward to hit that most muscular. So I was like, okay, so you're the guy that I can, you know, I'm going to go after you. You know, so he's the one that I want to
get. You know, but you know Cedric is a favorite at the Arnold's. Like, Arnold loves Cedric.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And so that's he said, I'm Arnold's favorite. Well, Cedric, dude, that's about to change. You're about to be done. And the new kids got to come and push you on out.
But
so
it's funny. I think Arnold will love your physique, too, because you have the same characteristics that he loves about Cedric. You have a tiny waist, the very the properly flowing structure, nice round muscle bellies, like everything fits together well. How is your posing though? Because Cedric's great, a great poser.
It's good. I feel like it's definitely better now. You know, what happens is I felt really comfortable on the Olympia stage. And of course the stage is a little smaller because there was a lot to take in on that big stage. But I'm more confident in my physique. Not that I wasn't thin, but you know, when you're confident in your physique, that comes forward in your posing. So now I'm going to be more open to hitting, even in a routine, some poses more comfortably, and not thinking like, oh, am I lagging? Is this, am I hitting this body part right? Because that's the stuff that flows through your head when you're posing. Yeah. So this, the plan on this one, man, is to really just, you know, especially in a routine, because they give a posing award.
Yeah.
Just fall into the music, you know that you have the tools to be successful. You have the physique to pull off these certain poses. So I just got to get up there and do it. So
are you going to, I used to always wing my routines. People like my routines, but I used to like just do them. I would go out and do them.
Yeah.
Have you practiced? Are you going to put together something choreography wise, or are you just going to go out there and do it?
I'm going to put something together, and then I will freestyle in between, because that's how I do it. It's, I have a general basic structure. The way I like to put the routine together is, you know, we're always going to have our mandatories in there. And I feel like if you hit 5-6 mandatories, you know, like through the transitions, and then you have like 4 or 5, like that
artistic
shots that fit artistic. And they fit your physique. Those are going to be the ones that I want to stick. So I have to find a way, because I don't know yet, because I haven't practiced it.
Yeah.
Just to put those in and transition through, because dude, transitions, that's part of the posing too.
Oh yeah.
You know how you move. We can't be, you know, like robots up there. You know, you want to be graceful if you can.
Yeah. How does it feel? I think I asked you this last time, but I just saw your Instagram, and I don't know, you spent 3 days with Phil?
Yeah.
How does it feel having Phil kind of give you a boost of confidence, like, you know, 4 or 5, 6 weeks out from the Arnolds?
Dude, it was crazy. You know, God rest his soul, man. Dude, we all miss Kobe, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But to me, that's kind of like the nod from Jordan. You know, it's kind of like he gave him the nod, like, you know, yeah, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
So that's what it was like going up there with Phil, because the thing is we have a close relationship.
Yeah.
But, dude, he'll tell you, even when I was up there, he was like, this is what you need to work on. This is your weakness. Like, you know, and if someone of a weaker mind would think, man, that would hurt their confidence.
Yeah.
But with him, he tells you, like, you know, but this is me being critical. You have all these strengths. So, you know, do this, do that, so on and so forth. And so it was good, because he's always been, like, straight up. And he even said it. I think he did an interview with the guys on muscle development.
Yeah.
And he went already said, yeah, you know, Patrick cracked the top 6, and I'm interested to see him and Sergio go at it, and, you know, because they're two different physiques, and they both have similar, well, stage experience in the pro ranks anyway. Sergio has a lot more experience than me
in the overall amateur ranks.
You know, and I'm still fairly new. Yeah. But, you know, it was a boost, because he was honest, and he doesn't treat me like, oh, I'm going to call to you, and, oh, you're going to do great. You know, you can do it. Go ahead, look. No, he's like, man, and he told me, he's like, yeah, you know, for what you want to do, I think you need a little more time, and that's okay, because you have it.
Yeah.
But the visiting him, he was like, you're going to be fine. And when he said that, I came back home, dude, and like, oh, y'all in trouble now. Because now I know what I'm doing. You know, you just do it different when you know you're doing the right things versus, am I going to be okay? Am I conditioned enough? Now I don't have those questions. And now my body's changing more and more by the day. So that's just building my confidence, because I'm like, okay, last 4 weeks, everything's firing. Like, this is going to be a good one, you know?
I'm excited to see you on stage, man. I really want to see what you, because you know what's funny? Now that you've placed well at the Olympia and everybody knows who you are, it's a weird thing in bodybuilding. I don't feel like you ever get judged as fairly when they don't know you as when they do know you.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. I feel like now the judges are expecting something from you. And if you can bring it to them, they're going to reward you. And I'm really curious to see, because I think you're going to get a better look is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And if you get a better look and you get compared more, I'm curious to see where they place you. I'm really excited to see kind of how you do in the lineup and what comparisons they give you and all that. So it's going to be a really good show. There's a lot of great guys doing the show, and it's going to be a huge feather in your cap if you can place anywhere in the top 6. I mean, it's a really deep lineup.
It's a deep lineup, man. All these guys have multiple years experience over me. And but it's cool, because, you know, like, you always got, you got to set your bar, you know, you got to, what do you want to aim for? What are you going for? And so for me, I always set it high. And when I saw the lineup, I was like, now, this is what I'm talking about, because now I know that these guys, the lineup is that deep. So I have to work that much harder, because, like you said, at the Olympia, I didn't get a fair look. And that's cool. I mean, that happens, dude. I'm sure I came out and they were like, damn, what do we do with this guy?
That's right.
You know, because kind of going into the show, I'm sure they're just like us. They have human eyes. So they see, okay, well, Brandon won the Arnold Classic. You know, William placed there. So you kind of have that narrative a little bit going in, like, you know, because it's almost like a
But it's also because you have such a different physique than everybody.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Like, honestly, like when I watch the Olympia and I look at your physique and everybody else's physique, I'm like, that's different. It's just different.
Yeah,
It doesn't look like Cedric.
No.
Or sorry, it doesn't look like Brandon. It doesn't look like Dexter. It's really different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like kind of in a category by yourself almost.
And it's cool, man, because I remember when I first started this sport, I think Lee told me, he was like, just be different. Yeah. He like, everyone, we all think we know what the physique should look like, but it's quite different when you let it develop on its own and you just train on your own. And for me, I think that's what happened, man. It was kind of like I was the 10th guy coming out. So I think it was like apples, 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 oranges, 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 pear. Right.
Don't say pear. They use pear for fat people. They'll use pear.
Well, you know, you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. Kiwi's good. Okay, yeah. He's kiwi.
and I think they were like, okay, man, you know, what are we going to do with him? And so I think that's why I fell into two different call-outs between the two days. You know, I was in one call-out this night, the first night, and then the second night I was in a whole different call-out with another group. And that's when I was actually next to Cedric.
Yeah.
So this time I want to be in the mix, but just not for the sake of being in the mix. Like look at me. Like, well, look at me. Compare me with these guys. Yeah,
the reason it's exciting is because they know the Kiwi's coming.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have a Kiwi. We have to figure where the fuck are we going to put the Kiwi. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you got to put me on a fruit plate, man. You got to put me on a fruit plate. You can't have a damn party without the Kiwi, dude.
So let me ask you this, a little bit off topic. Is Phil coming back because he looks like a fucking freak? I know you know. I know you must know.
So, you know, it's one of – okay. And this is the honest, this is not me like shielding or deflecting.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely what he wants to do. And I think that from being around him over the past 4 or 5 days when I was there, things are lining up to where it looks like it's a strong possibility. Yeah. But you even as an athlete, if you decide you want to do something else or come back and compete, you got to ask those questions like, okay, I look this way now. I know what it takes to look the best I've ever looked so far. Am I able to do that? Like, can I give this prep 100%? And I think that's kind of where his head is at now, because he didn't even tell me for sure. And that's honest answer, dude. If I could screenshot the text, he was like,
I believe you.
Yeah, he was just like, man, I just gotta, things gotta line up. And you know, because he has his supplement company, he has a meat company, he has a cream for your body. He's doing a lot of different things, and then he's working with Danny Garcia and The Rock and stuff. So, you know, you're gonna have to pick and choose. Well, if things show up in this area, then the Olympia probably isn't a possibility, because this is where I need to go. Because he's like you said, he's in that area. Like, okay, what am I gonna do now? I can still compete, but if I do it one or two more times, I am gonna be done, and then what am I gonna do? So, I think he's in a position where if certain business things go right for him now, the Olympia may be in his rear view.
I see. Oh, okay. I thought it would be the other way around. I thought if certain business things go a certain way, then he'll be freed up enough to be able to get back on stage.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's the way it's business. You know, if you have something coming in, it's growing, and say during the prep, they say, hey, you know what, man, we need to fly you out here. We have to close this deal. It's for, you know, it's a $500,000 deal. You'll make $250,000.
Yeah.
Let's just say you'll make $250,000. Okay, well, man, if I go to Olympia, if I win, I get $400,000, and I'm still going to only get $250,000 after I pay taxes.
Yeah.
So do I want to put my body
through? And you got to do all the prep to get there.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, do I want to put my body through that? Or what if I land this deal and that's continuous money?
Yeah.
This is a one-time thing. So I think he's in that area where it's like, okay, you're gonna have to choose one, you know.
Can you imagine though, as an athlete, like you're a competitive bodybuilder, can you imagine though, as an athlete, having 7 Olympia titles, and he's still what, 36, 37?
Oh, Phil's 40.
He's 40 now.
Yeah,
but he still looks fresh though, man. Like,
oh, dude,
can you imagine being right there on a doorstep and being like, I think I could pull two more out, and then but walking away from it instead. You know what I mean?
He, like, that's what's on his mind. Let me tell you, I was on him the whole time. Yeah. And I told him, come back, come back, come back. Yeah. And I said, you know, this might sound selfish on my part, but dude, like, I would love to stand on the stage with you because this sport, dude, you want to compete with the best of the best. And I mean, let's face it. Like right now, you know, Phil's just, he's crazy looking. And yeah, he always was. Every show, dude, is he, if you beat him, you know, cause in 18, dude, we you know, it just was what it was. It was a crazy year.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but he wasn't, imagine if you could compete like me and you and stand up there with 100% Phil Heath.
I did.
You know, yeah.
I did. So I did in 2008, I did.
That's what I'm saying. You know, dude,
but
if,
we
you,
didn't,
if you overtake him,
yeah,
it's like, damn, like, you know, you that does something for you. So I told him, dude, in the spirit of competition, like, and what it would do for me, I would love to see you back because we, trust me, man, we want to compete against the best.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I get it, you know, but I have to make, and that was his point, is I have to make sure I can be my best.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, I don't want to go into a prep. And I think he said he's going to make a decision within, by the end of February. Mm-hmm. By the end of February, he said he'll know if he's going to do it or not. Because he, the things he has going on, I think he's waiting on a specific answer on when that's going to be, what's going to happen with that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He said, and so then he needs that time so he can start to kind of ramp up, get the food going, you know, get, because, you know.
Yeah, yeah, dude, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You already know how it goes.
Fill back out.
Yeah, so
before he starts dieting. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, well, I just have to make sure my environment's good. This way, once I get going, because he, like he said, he has tunnel vision. And yeah, when it's prep time, that's all that matters. So yeah, he just wants to make sure, you know, his wife's good, her health is getting better. So all those things, you know, he's like, man, if it keeps going this way, it's a very, very high possibility.
Yeah.
But he did say he will decide by the end of February.
Yeah, it would be great. It would be great to see him come back, man. I think,
yeah,
it's crazy. I feel like people like him more after realizing he's not there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there was a lot of people that talked a lot of shit about Phil.
Yeah.
While he was the champ, because everybody hates the champ. That's what happened to Ronnie, yeah, too. When Ronnie, yeah, was the champ, everybody wanted Jay to win. And then, yeah, same thing happened to Phil. And I feel like once Phil left, people were like, fuck, we want Phil back.
Yeah.
So it's,
yeah,
kind of like, it's kind of cool for him, right? To see that, like,
yeah,
he's wanted more now that he's not there. It's like, it's a cool thing to witness.
That's how it goes, man. You it's like that. It's like that. I haven't had that experience, fortunate enough,
yeah,
but it's like that girl that you lose and you're,
yeah,
like, man,
that's what I was thinking of.
You know, you're like, man, she used to get on my nerves, but it was great when she was here.
Yeah,
I haven't,
yeah,
had an experience, so I'm good on that. I don't wish anybody back. Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, that's how the fans, I think they probably are. It's like, man, we didn't realize how cool it was to see somebody with that confidence and that physique, like, just come through and be that electrifying,
yeah,
you know, when they compete.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, we need that as a sport. All of us, that's what our goal is. We want to electrify the, yeah, fan.
Yeah.
You know, so it'll be awesome, man. But, you know, it'll be his call. But he didn't give me, like, a confirmation because, yeah, I would have found a way to leak it to you. I would have sent you, like, a random message.
Yeah, okay. Well, wait, when he does, you say, shoot it over my way.
Yeah, well, I'll send it over and you'll just know it from me.
Okay, okay. I don't want to keep you too much longer. We've been on for a while, but I want to know what's going on after the Arnold. If you win the Arnold and you qualify for the Olympia, you're probably going to sit out. If you don't win the Arnold, what do you plan on doing for the rest of the year? Like, what's your plans this year?
So I have the Honor of Australia after that. So,
okay,
I'm doing that one too. Yeah.
Okay.
And if I qualify, yeah, man, I'm going to do Olympia. And, you know, it's because I make that decision based on the way that my body's growing now.
Mm-hmm.
The rate at which it's growing, because like I said, you know, the thing we figured out with the food,
yeah,
dude, I am the worst with eating in the off season. And that's because of work.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, with a successful placing at the Arnold, that'll allow me some time to step back from that. So, yeah, then, dude, I can actually eat and train properly for 6 months. I have not been able to do that yet.
Yeah.
I did the 2017 the USA's. That's when I turned pro. Dude, I was doing cardio 3 times a week at 15 minutes.
That's crazy.
I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
2018, I get with Chris. He's trying to learn me. You know, we got better from New York to California, and then we had another year together, and we got better, and then we had the Olympia. So me and him, a couple years together. So it's one of those deals where I'm progressing, and the more I feel like I learn, the more I can progress faster. And I just don't have that luxury, you know, to sit out when I know that my body's so fresh. I mean, because it's responding, you know. So I will give the Olympia a run, and then my goal is to crack that top five. So then I can just only prep for the Olympia.
That's right.
You know, that will be my goal. So
what happens if you don't win either of the Arnolds and you have to – are you going to compete again, or are you just going to hope that you have enough points to sit out?
No, coming from boxing, dude, you knock them out. We don't wait for the scorecard. I would end up falling. Remember me? You were talking.
Yeah.
I would fall into either Vancouver or Toronto.
Okay.
Or if I wanted to take a longer break, dude, I'd go give Tampa a run. I'd go to Tampa, then take a little.
And you'd be already kind of ready.
I'd be already in shape. Yeah. So then I just bounce right back in. So anything's a possibility now. But I am going to secure that old qualification. I'm not going to rely on points because these are both stacked lineups, and these are guys that I know their season, and so anything can happen. I mean, I could do very, very well, you know. Yeah. So guys release pictures all the time, man, going into shows.
Yeah.
And we all know, dude, how are you going to look that day? That's great. You're shredded glutes at 5 weeks, 6 weeks out, but you know, you can mess that up real quick.
Yeah.
You know, going into showtime. So it's like anything's happening, man. Any given Sunday, you know.
Off topic, how many people have you knocked out in their boxing ring? I don't want to know on the street, but in the boxing ring, how many people have you not?
Maybe 50.
What was your record? Seriously.
Dude, I'll have to go and look. It's all amateur.
Okay. Oh, so you don't have an actual.
No,
like,
no. Uh-uh.
You think you've knocked out 50 people?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You're full of shit.
Yeah, no, dude.
You're too nice to be a fucking knockout artist. What are you talking about?
Well, look at anybody who does something like that. Dude, some of the meanest guys in the world are, like, nice on the other side of the pillow.
That's true, I guess.
Yeah, you know,
you flip that switch.
Yeah, man. It's like you have some, like, okay, so, like, the Super Bowl this weekend.
Yeah.
Look at Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that guy, he's, like, the nicest guy ever. You would think, like, he could take hits from linemen and, you know, so just like anything, dude, you have a switch. You know, you turn it on, turn it off.
You have no aspirations to go back to boxing at all?
Hell no. No.
Why'd you quit? Man.
Well, you just have to think, you know, that – so you'll have, like, athletes with great potential that do different things, right? With that, the only downside is it comes up to promotional dollars. So you'll have guys – so the one of the guys that I know – you know, he's still waiting on his big moment, and he's been doing it since he was like six.
It's
just who's going to put the money up, because that's how it goes at that level. Who's, you know, so if you're not like, say you're not with the right camp, or you're not going to get looked at. You're going to, the people who can promote this fight, they're going to put their fighters in place. And, you know, so it's one of those deals like, man, it's just a headache, man. I don't have time for it. I think that this, what I'm doing now is where I belong, you know?
Yeah. I think you found your calling, because you're fucking killing it in bodybuilding. So
it's all good.
I don't want to keep you anymore, buddy. I know you're dying. I know you're doing your prep and you're probably hungry and you got stuff to do. So I'm going to let you go. But if you win, or even if you don't win, why don't you come back on after the Arnolds and we'll shoot the shit and see what's going on before the Olympia?
Oh, yeah, dude. We definitely have to get back on. Like I said, I'll do both Arnolds. So anytime after March 20th, man, we can get back on it.
Okay. How about?
You know, what the experience was.
How about this? We'll make sure we get you on before the Olympia, because I'm assuming you're going to qualify for Olympia, and I want to talk to you before you go on a stage again and see how you do at the Olympia this year. So we'll get you on again. We'll shoot the shit, man. But it was really good talking to you for about an hour or so. And I hope, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Arnolds, man, in a little while.
Sounds good, brother. It's going to be a good one, man.
Okay, man. Thank you very much for coming on, Patrick.
All right.
Okay, brother.
Later.